everybody. Thanks for coming back out. Now, we're at Step Into Joy Session 2, all right? Is that what everybody planned to come to? Okay. So who was here last week? Who came to the first round? Okay. Who was not here last week? This is your first time through. So we're about half and half. So did everybody get, I put the wrong stack over here. Hang on. Did everybody get one of these on the way in or last week that you have with you? Manual, everybody got that? All right. Did everybody get the handouts that they had out there? There should be three. There's a prayer list. There's a motivational gift survey. And then there's serving with joy. Did you guys get all three of those? Awesome. And then did everybody either fill out one of these or get one of these tonight to fill out before you go? You guys are well stocked then. I like that. Well, let me get started praying and then we'll jump right into things. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everyone who's here today. I thank you for the future you've placed in their hearts and the plan you've placed in their lives. And Father, I thank you as we talk tonight and as we share about stepping into joy, that you're connecting hearts and you're connecting lives. And so, Father, I thank you as I open my mouth wide today, you'd fill it up, give me words to speak and share, to be an encouragement and a blessing to everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So, if you were here last week with Pastor Rob talked to you guys about what you can expect from Joy Church. He talked a lot about the vision of Joy Church. He talked a lot about core values and a lot of information about Joy Church. If you missed that first session, you can get caught up straight from the manual, all right? So I encourage you guys at your own pace, on your own time, if you will just take time to go back through, if you were not here last week, go back through and just review the material that we did not cover that you didn't get from last week, and then you'll be all caught up with what we talked about this week. But I want to start out with a couple questions with you guys. First of all, how many of you guys have been coming to Joy Church for, let's say, more than a year? Anybody been coming longer than a year? Okay. How about 6 months to a year? Anybody in that time frame? A few of you? How about 3 to 6 months? Okay. Anybody less than 3 months? Okay. Now, who has come to Joy Church from a bigger church? Your church background was from a larger church than Joy Church. A few of you guys. Who's come from a smaller church background than Joy Church? Who's come to Joy Church from very little to no church background? Anybody? Okay. And I ask those questions every single time. And the reason I ask those questions every time is because I get hands with every one of the answers. And it's so amazing. If I went through and I began to ask you, you know, what your church background has been, or maybe what type of church or denomination you've been a part of, we'd have just about as many different answers as we have people in the room. And so the thing I love about Joy Church is how he brings so many people together from so many different backgrounds and so many different histories. And yet here we are, we come together, we join arms and link up and make a pretty awesome difference together for Jesus. And so that's the exciting thing about Joy Church. But so the purpose of Step Into Joy, you know, people have different concepts of church membership. This is, you know, I guess if you want to categorize it, this is our church membership process. But see, that means different things to different people. And church membership's not about joining the Moose Lodge or you know, becoming some part of some club. Church membership, becoming a part of the Joy Team, let's call it that here at Joy Church, that's about locking arms and linking arms together with others with similar heart, similar desire, that are growing together with the Lord. Now, what the church teaches is very important. The vision of the church is very important. And God puts people together in church families. And so we talk about at Step Into Joy a lot of things that will help us to figure out, okay, I've been coming for a little bit. I've been taking a look at things. I'm interested enough in being a part of this church that I'm in Step Into Joy. And so I want to get involved. I want to get more plugged in. This is kind of like our orientation class to help get us all on the same page together. So let's open up our manuals. We'll jump into these things together. We'll talk a little bit about, Pastor Rob, like I said, talked about pretty much everything from the first session. I do want to say this. How many of you guys, since you came to Joy Church, have been encouraged or treated nicely by anybody here at the church? Anybody, were you greeted by friendly people in the parking lot? Anybody experienced that? Anybody, were you greeted by nice people at the children's ministry, or maybe a kind usher helped you find your seat, or a smiling praise and worship team ministered to you out there in the main auditorium. You know, one of the things we love to hear is, and I've probably asked some of you guys, if you've come to our guest reception, I've probably asked some of you guys, what did you like about Joy Church? You know, what stood out to you when you first came? And I love asking those questions because we, oh, by the way, I didn't even introduce myself. A lot of you guys have no idea who I am. I'm David Goldner. I'm Pastor Dave to most around here. My wife, Paula, and I'm the executive pastor here at the church. We have had the privilege of working and serving together with the Freeses for Pastor Jim and Miss Ann for 31 years. And it has been such a wonderful adventure that we've been together on those guys. So we've been with the church from the very beginning. We've been a part of it from when this church first was founded back in 2003. It was when Joy Church started, but we've been serving in ministry with them long before then as well. And so it's been an exciting adventure. That's why I love getting to be a part of Step Into Joy, because you guys, many of you are just getting to know Joy Church. You know, some of you have been here with us for a while. Some of you guys have just been with us here for a short period of time. But I've had the opportunity to be around and see and experience what's possible and what's available to anyone who comes and becomes a part of this team and a part of this group and grows in this environment. And I'm telling you, I'm excited for you, because I believe your future is so bright and the future for your kids is so bright. How many of your parents have kids with you that are going to be a part of the church with you as well? Guys, it's a great environment to grow together and to serve the Lord together. And it's very outreach-oriented as a church, so we can continue to reach this community in a big, big way. All right? Now, I'll go back to what I was saying, and that is when you first came to Joy Church, you had a positive experience. You know, you had people that treated you kindly, treated you nicely, made you feel special. And we ask people all the time, you know, what'd you like about Joy Church? And I love the answers that I get. You know, people love Pastor Jim's teaching, and I hope they do, and I hope you do. People love the music and love the worship, and I hope they do, and I love it, and I hope you do too. But a lot of the answers that all of the members of Joy Church have the opportunity to influence are answers like, I felt so welcome. I felt cared for. It felt like home. One I love to hear, and I hear fairly often, is I felt safe. Now, I know what the people meant when they said it. They're not talking, you know, I didn't think I was going to get shot. That's not what they meant about felt safe. They felt like they were in an environment where they were spiritually safe. You know, this was a safe place to grow and learn in the Lord and to bring our kids, and you're not wondering, you know, what's going on back in the kids' ministry with them and those kind of things. And I love that, and we want that to be a part of each person's experience. But, you know, all of us are a part of providing and creating that experience for the next person who comes through the door. Now, think back when you first came. You saw an usher in the parking lot. You saw a teenager probably holding a sign out there waving at you. You saw greeters and ushers inside and different people. But when you saw each of those different people and you had your experience that you had with them, they to you weren't Bob and Sally and Joe and Ken. They were Joy Church, right? And so that person, through how they treated you and how they cared for you, were your first impressions of Joy Church when you first came. And so the beautiful, fun thing is we get, as we become a part of the team and as we become a part of Joy Church, we get to make a transition from just being the ones getting encouraged and loved on and smiled at to being the ones that are part of helping that experience be wonderful for the next person that comes through the door. We get to give away the smiles. We get to give away the handshakes. We get to give the welcomes and give away the joy. And now we represent the Lord, we represent each other, we represent this church to the community and the people that we reach and touch. So it's pretty cool getting to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. You know, each one of you is very important, and we're going to talk about that tonight. God's put some really special things in each and every one of you. But it's not just for us. It's for others. And as we allow the Lord to, you know, as we give it over to God, you know, Pastor Jim was talking all about that this morning. You know, let's give it over to God and let him do with it some pretty amazing things. And that's the beauty of becoming part of a team like Joy Church. You can take those giftings God's put in you, and God can express them through you to those that are around you. All right? So let's jump back in our manuals, or jump in our manuals now. And let me pick up on, you know, Pastor Rob got through, I think, almost everything. In that first session, except the last page of that first section that's entitled Church Government and Procedure. Do you see that section in yours? It's probably page 16, 17, 18, something like that. What page number is it in?
17.
Page 17. All right. Let's go through this real quick together, and then we'll jump into session two. It's funny, this information in here, to some people, they're like, who cares? I'm bored to hear this. To other people, it's like, this is what I really want to know because this is important to me. And I'll explain why that is as we go. But we'll look through them real quick. Number one, Joy Church International is a non-denominational church. That means that we're not any particular denomination. We have people from every denomination you can imagine. We're governed by a board of trustees. We are autonomous but accountable. We're independent, but we're not isolated as a church. The daily activities of church ministry and business are administered by the church staff. Number three, Pastor Jim's compensation is set yearly by an independent compensation committee. Compensation is determined based on national compensation trends, tenure, scope of responsibilities, etc. Now, you may wonder, well, why in the world, why are you telling me this? I'm telling you this because you'd be amazed at how many people come from a church background where the finances were not handled properly, or were not handled in a responsible way. And guys, when it comes to Joy Church and how we conduct ourselves as a ministry, how we handle finances and resources here at this ministry is very important to us because we're stewards of those resources and we are entrusted by God to handle those in very biblical and very wise ways. And so when it comes to things like compensation, when it comes to things like church expenses, we'll talk about that here in a moment, compensation is not just some number you pull out of a hat, or you don't, you know, we don't come out one day and go, hey, let's give Pastor this pile of money that came through the door. That's something that's a very well-researched and resourced thing that is tied into comparative analyses of other ministers and other pastors in similar-sized churches and similar scope and scale of ministry, and that's how those numbers are derived. And they're not derived by Pastor Jim or any of his paid staff. They're derived by an independent compensation committee that comes in and uses those resources in a way to do that very, very responsibly. All right, let's keep reading the next one. Each year in early February, Joy Church has an annual stewardship review. At that time, a detailed ministerial and financial report of stewardship is given. We do that every year. It's for the previous year, upcoming in February. Be on the lookout for it. We'll announce it. We'll have an annual stewardship review. If that's of interest to you, you can come in. We'll talk all about what the church did in the previous year, what finances came in, what finances went out, what, you know, what we expended finances toward. And it's a very open, transparent communication of the stewardship of the resources that's come into Joy Church. And that's important to us. And hopefully that matters to you. It's funny because it's not a highly attended meeting each year because, again, some people are like, I don't want to go to some church financial meeting. But, you know, we want you to feel confident in how the church is stewarding the resources that come in. Matter of fact, we had a few years back, we had a well-known national accounting firm come in that works with some of the biggest churches all around the country. And we had them come in and do two different things. And it wasn't because anyone asked us to or we were required to or anything was in question that was going on. We just simply did it as an added layer of responsibility and accountability to the church. And we had them come in and they did an internal controls review for us one year, you know, which is very involved process. You're nodding your head. You're familiar with these processes. You know, they come in, they analyze all of your controls, you know, how you handle finances from start to finish and, you know, the internal processes and things you have in place. And we had them come in and do that. And they loved what we did. They had a few suggestions and a few little minor tweaks here and there that they recommended and we implemented as well. And then we had them come in the following year and do a full financial audit. Now, if you've ever been involved in one of those in a business or someplace you've worked, there's a lot of work that goes into that. And there's a lot of expense that goes into that. And it's a, you know, really weeks-long process once you go start to finish. But we did that because we just simply wanted to, one, have that outside, those outside eyes on things. But two, we just wanted to, for the congregation, give you an added layer of confidence and feel good about what goes on here at Joy Church. And it was so interesting to see The auditor who came and was here on site with us the majority of the time, he kept using this one. You're welcome. You just come on in here. You had like the sideways cocked head. I hope no one notices me coming. That's all right. The auditor, he kept using this one word. I loved it. And it was refreshing. And that was the word he kept sharing and talking with us. And he told Pastor Jim at the end, he said, I wish I could bottle up the integrity that I see here at this church and I could take it to the other churches that I work with. And he was very glowing in his encouragement toward the church and things. Now, why do we share all this with you? We share all this with you because we want you to feel comfortable and confident about where you're giving. You know, if you bring tithes and offerings to this church, we take that very seriously and soberly, our responsibility to handle those things in a very responsible way. Here's some good news for you. If you hadn't heard already, Joy Church is entirely debt-free. This entire campus, all the buildings, all the equipment, all the things on this campus, fully paid for and has been since the end of 2014, all right? We moved into this building the beginning of 2014. And so in less than a year, a few months, this entire campus was fully paid off, and we've done everything and operated entirely debt-free ever since. Since that time, we built our Landing Community Outreach Center that some of you guys have been in, and if you haven't been in and get a chance, who's been in there and seen it? Anybody? Oh, a lot of you guys. That's good. We'll do some winter wonderland things in there as we get toward Christmas, and everybody can get in and make the... Who, by the way, in here is with the Joyride group, Joyride age group? Anybody? College and career age bunch? A few of you guys, have you guys been to some of the grow nights that we have over there? Good. It's a great facility. It's kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese combined with Dave and Buster's minus all that wouldn't be pleasant about those places, all right? And so one side is more geared toward kids. There's a big playground area, lots of video games and things. The other side is a little more teen-oriented age-wise, half court, indoor basketball court, all these kind of things. And we have our food pantry is at the back end of the building as well. And it's just designed to reach the community. Have you heard about our Kairos Coffee House project? Any of you guys heard about that? You know, we're in the middle of that process right now. You can see where we're clearing ground, and you'll see that starting to go up here real soon. And as we get into next year, we're excited about that coming along. All of these projects, that project, our landing projects, are all done entirely debt-free. In huge part because of your generosity, but also in huge part because of good stewardship from the leadership here at the church. So hopefully you can feel good. You know, most churches, honestly and sadly, are deeply in debt. And because they're deeply in debt, so many of the resources that come in have to go out toward debt management, and you're paying banks all this interest when we could be using that money to bless our veterans like we did, you know, just yesterday, I guess, wasn't it? Boy, that's been a long, long 2 days. That was just yesterday. And so it's good news, I hope, to you guys to hear that. If you look down, next one, members receive, or anybody who gives here receives a yearly individual record of giving statement from Joy Church for personal and income tax usage that goes in or goes out in January. You can be on the lookout for those. If you've given here and you've written your address legibly and name legibly on whatever you gave it to us through, then you'll be getting a receipt. And then Pastor Jim's a member of ICFM, International Conference of Faith Ministries, which has over 500 ministers represented both nationally and internationally. Now, let's jump ahead into section two. And I want to jump into this, and we're going to start wading through a section entitled Proper Pastoral Positioning. Now, how many of you know all of you guys have come from different church backgrounds? Some bigger churches, some smaller churches. The vast majority of you came from smaller church background. And depending on what environment you came from, what denomination you came from, what type of church you came from, there's so many different ways that churches do what they do. And a lot of times we derive our opinions of what pastors should be doing or what church people should be doing, not necessarily based on the Bible, but based on our experience or what we've seen in the past. And so we like to jump into the Bible and see what the biblical pattern is for each of our roles within the church, and then that way we're doing things in a biblical way. Anybody think that's a good idea? You want to do it the Bible way instead of, you know, First Church or the Frozen Chosen or what, you know, whatever, you know, I don't know what church you came from, but whatever church that was may or may not have been doing it in good accordance with the Bible. So let's take a look at some things. Let's look over in Acts chapter 6. And I want to paint a picture for you, and you can see what was going on in the early church. Now, here's the good news. The early church was hitting the ground running. They're starting to grow. Their numbers are being multiplied and added to in a big, big way. And then they're starting to run into some growth problems, right? Not everyone's happy for some strange reason. Can you imagine at a church, not everybody was happy? So let's take a look. It says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. They were feeding many of the widows and taking care of them, but a certain subset was not being fed like the others were, and so they had to deal with it. So then the 12 disciples, called the multitude of the disciples to them, and they said, it's not reasonable or not good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, make sure we understand what they're saying here. They're not saying, hey, we're the hotshot 12 disciples. We're too good to serve tables. What they're saying is, hey, our plates are full. We got a lot going on. Anybody ever have a full schedule? How many of you know when you have a full schedule and try to add something to it, something has to come out of it, right? You can't. There's a limit to what you can do. And these guys understood, listen, if we're going to have to go and do this, then the only way we can go and do this is if we stop doing that. And because their main priority was being in the Word of God, they knew they would have to leave the Word of God to go serve tables. So look in verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. If you want to know what Pastor Jim's primary job description is, that's his main, most important function here at this church, to be in the Word of God, to be in prayer, and then coming out of that to come and feed us and teach us and lead us in the church with all that resourcing going on. How many of you feel well fed at Joy Church when you come on a weekend or a Wednesday night? We get some pretty awesome chef-cooked meals spiritually. But if he was spending all day long every day mowing the lawn and vacuuming and repainting and fixing the broken chairs and all these different kind of things, or even coming in here and sharing, teaching this class that we're teaching right now, then if he was having to do all that, then he would have to leave the Word of God in prayer at times to do it. You know, one thing to know about Pastor Jim, think about his schedule. Like, for example, today. We had a service this morning. We had a service yesterday evening. But after our service this morning, we had a lunch for all of our leaders here at the church, our department leaders. And so our church service went right into a department leader lunch. And then that department leader lunch went right into a department coordinator meeting. And that department coordinator meeting, once it was over, led to a regular staff meeting. And when we wrapped up the regular staff meeting not too long ago, we went into another meeting that we had right after the staff meeting that, to my knowledge, is still going on over in the auditorium that I slipped out of and left to come in here. Now, think about this. Your pastor is teaching you on Saturdays and Sundays. He's teaching you on Wednesday nights. He's teaching World Changers Bible Institute on Tuesday nights every week. He's teaching our Joyride college and career age folks on Thursday nights, many Fridays. He has events and activities for lunch and sometimes dinners that we do. Anybody been to a Taste of Joy dinner before? Been to one of those? He's always at those. And so he's got a lot to do in the context of being in the Word and prayer, not to mention preparing for the messages and the ministry that takes place in all those different settings. And so the last thing that we need our pastor to be doing is, you know, figuring out what color to paint the rocks out in the, you know, out in the parking lot or whatever. We have to have additional help. And that's what these guys understood. Look, there's something that needs doing. This was important, but it wasn't important for the pastor to do. It was important for someone to do. So they were instructed to pick out seven people. And that saying pleased the whole multitude, so that was a miracle. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmesan cheese and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. And then look what happened. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And look what happened next, verse 7. You know, commissioning them to the work that that was to be done. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So what happened? What happened was the 12 apostles knew what their responsibilities were and their primary responsibilities were, and they stayed with them. They brought along people on board with them that had the skills and giftings to do what also needed to be done, because that too was important. And then everyone working together, the results were, look at that, great company. The priests were obedient to the faith. The number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. It was a beautiful thing because each person was doing what they were called to do. Do you guys know that, very few people know this, the average size of a church in the United States of America is about 80 people. That's the average size of a church. And some of you guys may have come from a church that size. Most people have come from churches from bigger size, and most people are surprised to hear that the average size church is 80, but that is the case across the country. And there's a number of reasons for that. Honestly, one of the reasons I personally think 80 is about the average size of a local church in the United States is about 80 people is about all one person can help pastor on his own without a lot of help. And there are so many churches across this nation that place unrealistic expectations on their leadership or on their pastors, and very little or no expectations on the people who are a part of the team, and everyone's hurt by that. The pastor can't preach a good message on Sunday morning because he's out, you know, trying to clean up the church and mow the lawn. Well, because he's preaching a horrible message on Sunday morning, people aren't growing, they're not learning, they're not maturing. You see what I'm saying? It kind of feeds itself cycle-wise. And so it's important to get out of that cycle, because a big church, guys, can make a big difference. It can make a big difference, all right? And so we want you to be a part of something that's making a big difference. Well, yeah, but Pastor Dave, you know, if I go to a big church, I won't know anybody. Well, think how illogical that statement is just on the surface. How are you going to not know anybody if you go to a big church? Now, you may not know everybody, and I think that's what you mean by that statement, but you don't know everybody in your town, but you don't expect to, right? You live in Nashville or you live in Mount Juliet, you don't expect to know everybody, so who do you know? You know a subset of people that you work with, that you live near, that you go to church with, that you know, that work at the grocery store you shop at. No one knows everybody everywhere. But one of the things we try to encourage people to think about Joy Church as is not so much a big church, but think of it as a small town. Anybody grow up in a small town where the thought is everybody knows everybody? You don't really. You know, you can't really know a ton of people well because it takes time to know people well. You know a lot of names and a lot of faces, and we want you to develop that here. But the way you get to know more people here is to get involved in subsets of the big picture, right? How many of you come to Saturday services? How many of you come to Sunday services? Well, guess what? A lot of you Saturday service folks probably don't know Sunday service folks. Why? You don't see them every week. Unless you come to your joy groups. Unless you're part of WCBI. Unless you're a part of a serving group, which will be available to everyone, you know, on the heels of this. Unless you're an usher or a greeter or you're in this subset or that group. Anybody got to have a favorite seat? You got a favorite seat section you sit in? Anybody see people you recognize each week? Why? Because they're favorite seat people too that sit near you. You know, and it's so funny, I'll meet people sometimes, I'll see people meet each other, and they'll introduce themselves. How long have you been coming to the church? 5 years. Really? I've been coming for 4 years. Yeah? Well, you know, what service do you go to? Oh, I go to Saturday. Oh, I go to Sunday. Or I'm a left side person, I'm a right side person, or I'm an up front person, or I'm in the back person. And so, we branch out, we get to know more people, the more involved and more engaged we get in the church. We had someone tell us one time, she said, you know what? Joy Church is getting smaller every day. And at that time, we were growing very rapidly, numerically, and we're like, really? She goes, yeah, because I'm getting more involved. I'm getting plugged in. And so it feels smaller because now I'm getting to know more and more people. And that's how you get plugged in and get to know more and more people. But let's keep on. Let's look at another example of proper positioning within a local church. Now, this is Moses and Jethro. You remember Jethro? He's on the Beverly Hillbillies. A lot of people don't know, though, he was also Moses' father-in-law, all right? And so Moses' father-in-law comes along to check things out. This is right after the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and Jethro is kind of watching how Moses is trying to lead the people. And he has some inputs. Anybody ever have a father-in-law that had inputs into your life? Nobody's admitting it. I see. So look what happens. He says this. This is Jethro, or is talking about this situation. And it came to pass in the morning that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that you do to the people? Why do you sit yourself alone and all the people stand by you from morning until evening?" Now, let me paint this picture for you. If you go back and study out the scripture and you look at some of the accounts of how many Israelites there were and you factor in women and children, there's an estimated amount of anywhere between 2 and 3 million Israelites that left Egypt. That's how big Moses' church was, 2 to 3 million people. All right? And so Moses is trying to figure out how to effectively lead and troubleshoot among a very, very large congregation out in the wilderness. And so Moses would get outside his tent every morning, and he'd set up his chair, and the people would line up, and they all had questions, and they wanted help. And one by one, they'd come to Moses, and Moses would try to help them. And he did it well, one by one. But if you're number 207 in line, you're going to have a really long, hot, sweaty day, and you're never going to make it to the front of the line, and it's going to be frustrating. So Jethro's watching this process. Moses is worn out. The people are worn out. They're all exhausted. And so he goes, "You know what? There's a better way to do what you're trying to do here." So let's keep going. "When they have a matter," this is Moses defending his actions, "when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." That sounds like something good, right? But look what Moses' father-in-law said. He said, "The thing that you do is not good." Now, what was not good was how he was trying to go about doing it, not what his heart intention was to help the people. So look on. "You'll surely wear away, both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to perform it yourself alone. Hearken now to my voice, I'll give you counsel. God will be with you. Be thou for the people Godward, that you may bring the causes unto God. And you shall teach them the ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, they shall provide, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Now hold off right there. And I want to tell you a story. It wasn't too long ago, I had the opportunity to sit with my pastor. And I'm telling you what, probably for close to an hour, 45 minutes at least, he just poured out from his, you know, 37, 38 years of ministry experience and just his time and laboring in the Word. He just poured out so much wisdom to me and just shared things with me that I needed to know from the Bible and things that, some things I didn't know, some things I'd heard but, you know, needed to hear again. And I mean, it was just such an amazing opportunity to you know, for that exchange. You know, I'm sitting there, he's just pouring into my life. How many of you guys would like that opportunity? Just sit down with Pastor and he'd pour that into your life. Let me tell you when this happened. This happened this morning at about 11:30, sitting in a chair out there with 600 more people, 700 more people, as he taught us the Word of God this morning. See, a lot of times people have this thought of, "Oh gosh, if I could just have an hour with the pastor, I know he'll tell me things that'll change my life." Well, you do have an hour with the pastor every week, twice a week if you come on Wednesdays, and he tells you things that'll change your life every time. Matter of fact, you can jump online and go back and get as many hours with the pastor as you want. It's not about, I got to have this one-on-one thing. It's about, do I value the input and the teaching that's coming? Because he's going to tell me the same things back in his office that he's going to tell me behind the podium. And it's just as relevant and just as real and just as life-changing from the Bible that it would be anywhere else. And this is kind of what Jethro is telling Moses. He's saying, look, quit trying to help people one by one by one and get up and teach the people. Teach them in mass. Teach them the Word of God. Give them the resources to live their lives successfully with. And then look what happens. He says, set up the rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of ten and see what they're supposed to do. Let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for yourself. And they shall, what does it say? They shall bear the burden with you. You know, there's a verse back. If you go back and study out Moses, I like Moses because he was pretty honest with God most of the time when he talked with him. And there was one time, here's a Moses prayer one day. Moses goes to God and says, God, if you care anything about me at all, kill me dead right here and now because these people of yours are driving me nuts, was basically what he was saying. It was too much. It was more than he could take. But you know what God did right on the heels of that prayer? Gave him help. In that case, brought him, not this case, but the case I referenced, brought him 70 others, 70 elders among the people that the purpose of their role with him was to bear the burden with him, carry this together with him. Listen, one person can't do everything that needs to be done in the church or in a business or in a family or in anything that's bigger than one person, right? We need each other. We need each other's help. We all have a part to play and a role to play. And so what Jethro is saying is, look, a lot of the needs of the people, they don't have to be handled by Moses. They can be handled by this guy or that guy or that guy or that girl. And if you'll put the system in place, then the people aren't standing in line all day long waiting to get an audience with whoever. It's like trying to call the IRS. No, it's even worse. It's like trying to get your driver's license renewed. It's so funny. I went to this back, gosh, I don't know how many years ago this was, but I went to get my driver's license. If you work at the driver's license place, and forgive me, but I'm about to insult you. But I went to renew my driver's license one time, and it was one where I had to get my picture retaken, so I couldn't do it. You know, I had to go in and do it. And so I'm trying to go on my lunch hour, right? I don't know any better. I'm stupid. So I show up at this place, and I walk in, and I know I'm in trouble because the sign on the door said, due to staffing and whatever and this and that, your wait could be as long as several hours. That's what it says, several hours, right? And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So I walk in the door, and there's people in there, but it's not full. There's probably looked like 8 or 10 people sitting over on the side. And so I go up to the counter, and the lady's there, and she's like, here's your number 48. And I was like, okay. I said, listen, do you have any kind of estimate, any idea how long this might take? She looked at me, she goes, no, but you should expect for it to take a really, really, really long time. Three reallys. I got three reallys in my customer service that day. Now, I didn't feel well cared for. I didn't feel valued. I didn't feel important. And I didn't get my license renewed that day, right? And that's how all these guys felt when Moses couldn't get around to them because they had a really, really, really long wait. And it wasn't because Moses didn't care. He just didn't have the resources to do it. So Jethro says, look, put the systems in place so the people can get helped. And there are certain things that only Moses could do. But then Moses should be doing those and not doing everything else at the same time because no one can do that. Does that make sense? So we're talking about proper pastoral positioning. That's the title of this. But the point is proper people positioning. If we'll all find our place within the local church and understand what our role and responsibilities are, then guess what? The church will be able to function much more effectively. And look in the last verse here. He says, if you do this thing and God commands you so, then the people or you shall be able to endure and all the people shall go to their place in peace. I got two questions for you. How many of you guys would, or let me ask it differently. Would you rather Pastor Jim put his family ahead of his job? Let's call this job the work of the ministry. You know, we all should put God first in our lives. Would you guys agree to that? I'm not saying put him before God. But I'm saying before his job. Would you rather him put his job first or his family first? Good. Thank you for that. Second question, would you rather have a living pastor or a dead pastor? Living, okay, good. Dead pastors are really boring. So living pastors are awesome. But I'm telling you what, Moses about got wiped out. He about got wore out. Those 12 apostles, if they'd have tried to take on everything, they would have been worn out themselves. And I'm telling you, all across this country and all across this world, there are pastors and ministers and ministries that are dropping out of the ministry left and right because they're just overwhelmed with the amount of work and responsibility that comes with it. Now, part of that's their fault. Part of that's the people they lead's fault. But part of that is they just don't understand biblically how to put things in the right order in the right place to make it work right. Now, if you've been here very long, you've heard Pastor Jim share many years ago, 28 years ago, probably somewhere in that neighborhood, Pastor Jim almost died. He almost worked himself to death. He reached a point where physically he was having all kinds of heart issues and other medical issues and challenges. He was a very young man, like 30 or so, or just barely over. And so what had happened? Well, he was working 7 days a week. He was working nonstop, sleeping very little, eating horribly, preparing and building a Bible Institute, teaching and ministering all around the country and traveling all around and teaching Bible school students and all this stuff. All these great things, good things that he was trying to do, but the problem was he was trying to do everything. And it about wore him out, all right? And so he went through a challenging time, and the Lord very supernaturally healed him, and which is beautiful and wonderful, but some of it took a while, and some of it was a process. But in all that time in that process, he learned a whole lot of things that helped him understand, listen, if I'm going to be around for a while here, I need to put some balance, and I need to put some things in my life, parameters in my life, so that I can be a great pastor for you next year and the next year and the next year. Now, if you see Pastor Jim on Wednesday nights, Saturdays, and Sundays, you're not going to find a more energetic, vibrant, you know, person who's about to turn 60 in just a couple months, all right? But, and he's so excited for the Lord, fired up for ministry, loves what he does, and he's been doing it for almost 4 decades. There's never been a hint of burnout that he's ever experienced because he loves what he does. But part of what helps that happen is having guidelines and structure in his life that keeps him protected from some things. Not long after that happened to him, he had a friend in a different state, a pastor in a different state, who was pretty much doing the same things that he had been doing, and he was wearing himself out, working day and night, and he hadn't had a vacation in years. And this guy, he was married, and he and his wife, they were just working at the church. And so Pastor Jim, because he had learned some of these things, he went to this friend, and he said, look, you need a break. You need to take some time off. And here's what his pastor friend told him. He said, look, and the priest had even invited them, come on out and join us. We're going somewhere on vacation. Come join us. He goes, no. He said, if I left my church for a week, he said, there's five couples at my church, five married couples that I'm doing marriage counseling with. If I left for a week, all five of their marriages would fall apart. That's what he thought. And Pastor Jim said, look, you're not their God. You can't hold their five marriages together. You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to lead them, but you've got to take care of yourself too. And he gave him the, yeah, you're right, but didn't do anything about it. 6 months later, that pastor and his wife divorced. And the very thing they were trying to do to help others, they weren't doing the right things in their own life to have the right parameters in place to be able to do that long term. And it obviously impacted their church tremendously. Okay? Everybody's got a lot on their plate. Everybody's got a lot to do. So what do? We all join in and pitch in and do our part, and it's beautiful how we can do some things together. Okay? Now, a lot of you don't know this. Pastor Jim started out in ministry taking out the trash. That was his first job in ministry as a volunteer. He did it really good, and he got promoted to mowing the lawn. And he mowed the lawn so good that he got promoted to cleaning the bathrooms. Now, what was he doing? He was so excited to be able to serve and help in ministry. He was so excited to be able to serve at his local church. Not paid. He was a volunteer. He went on to lead the evangelism team at his local church. He talked this morning and this weekend about early on with his pastor, when his pastor took him down to UT and they witnessed. Did you guys hear that? Anybody hear this weekend? That was in the early days. He wasn't a paid employee. He was there just serving and just helping out. And he took over the evangelism team. He later became a children's pastor. He later was a youth pastor. He founded and started World Changers Bible Institute, and he's still the president and developed the curriculum for the Bible Institute. That's what we do on Tuesday night and Thursday night classes. And so all these different roles he's done over the years, and what was he doing? He was serving. He was serving in whatever capacity. Initially volunteer, later paid. So what does he do now? He still serves the church. In this case, as our senior pastor. But he has learned all these things over the years that helps him be a great senior pastor for us as a church and as a team. Anybody ever heard of Warren Buffett? You know who Warren Buffett is? One of the richest guys in the world. He used to be. People are passing him up left and right. But Warren Buffett has led Berkshire Hathaway organization for decades and very, very widely considered to be a very wise investor and so on. A lot of people look to him, you know, as a mentor and so on. But I read a story. I thought it was interesting. It was written by one of his kind of his right-hand guys there in his organization. And he was talking about the, you know, how Berkshire Hathaway is structured. And he said, one of the things that we do at the company is we have organized and coordinated Warren Buffett's schedule to free him up to think. Because they considered the most important function they wanted Warren Buffett to be doing for Berkshire Hathaway was thinking. Not sitting around signing all the paychecks, not sitting around figuring out how to unravel the latest issues at this company or that company. They wanted him thinking. Why? Because they knew what strength he brought to the organization. All right? Every single one of you have strengths in you. Some you don't even realize that God's blessed you with, things he's gifted you with, things he's put in you. And those aren't just for you. Those are for others. And God's put them in you to express them through you to help and bless and encourage and be there for others. And we'll talk about that again a little bit more as we go. Okay? Now, let's go on. Let's move on. Go ahead and jump to the next page if you would. Let's talk about your responsibilities to the joy team. I'll wag my finger as I do that. Listen, I'm part of this joy team. I'm excited to be a part of this joy team. But anytime you're on a team, there's certain expectations that come with being a part of a team, right? And so these are things we get to do or that are available to us that we encourage and ask you to do as part of the joy team. So let's go through them real quick together. Number one is faithfulness in church attendance and special events. We encourage you to be here. You know, you can't give what you don't have. And if I want to give away love and encouragement and wisdom to others, I got to take time to get love and encouragement and wisdom in me so I can spread it and share it to other people, right? So the more you come, the more you can learn and the more that you can grow. Number two is faithfulness and helps ministry within the church. That's just being a part of the team. And we'll talk about that as we go. Number three is faithfulness to pray for your church, its leadership, its members, and its outreaches. Prayer is important. Pastors told us for years, you never want to do anything as a church that you can't cover in prayer. And it's so important to be a praying Christian and pray for your church family and pray for one another and pray for your pastor and your leadership. And so we invite and ask you to do that. Make that a part of your regular day. And come on out each month. We do once a month our corporate prayer time. It's usually the first Sunday of the month. And we just had it just last week. And we'll have it again in early December. Come on out and be a part of that. We always do it from 5 to 6. It's a fun time together to pray together as a church family. Number four, faithfulness in tithes and offerings. You knew we'd talk about giving at some point. Jump to the next page. I want to show you this next page real quick, and we won't take long here at all. But it talks about tithing is a matter of the heart, not the wallet. Now, let me define what tithing is, because tithing is something that some people understand and some people don't. Tithing doesn't mean giving money. What the word tithing, the word tithe, is means tenth. The word tithe means one-tenth, okay? And so the concept of tithe and tithing is the concept of taking your first tenth of your income or increase and giving it to the Lord. And it's a process and practice that's been in place long before there was ever any law of Moses, and it was in place long after there was the law of Moses. It's Old Testament, it's New Testament, it's a practice that Christians and Jews have practiced, you know, for thousands of years. And I tell you what, it's something you couldn't make me stop doing. Tithing is one of the most awesome opportunities that Christians have to put their trust in God and to basically when we tithe, what we're saying is, God, I believe that you and me together can do way much more with 90% of my income than I could ever do on my own with 100% of my income. And it was a practice I was taught as a kid, and I thank the Lord for it, and I thank my parents for it. I didn't always serve the Lord as well as I should growing up, especially during my junior high and high school years, but I did always tithe. It was just something I'd learned and something I always did. And you couldn't make me not tithe. It's one of the most beautiful ways to develop a trust interaction and relationship with the Lord. Malachi 3:10 tells us when we bring the tithe into the storehouse, it says basically God will open windows of heaven toward us and pour blessings out into our lives. But it's the only place in Scripture where God uses this terminology. He says, test me or prove me in this. In other words, when it comes to tithing, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Well, prove to me tithing can work. God will prove it to you if you'll just take up the practice of tithing. And I don't mean, well, I gave a tithe one time and nothing special happened. Well, good for you, trooper. All of us can do things one time. What I'm saying is enter into that trust relationship with the Lord, and over time you'll be amazed at what God can do in you and through you, through your giving. So just a heads up on that, something that I encourage you with. This church tithes. The finances that come into this church, all the giving that comes into this church gives out at least a tithe of giving to all different kinds of ministries, outreach, community outreach, international and national outreach. You've heard us tell a lot of different stories about things we've done. We gave $100,000 to help with the satellite network purchase over in Russia to minister to Russians all around the entire Soviet Union or former Soviet Union. And so it is all kinds of ways that we as a church can bless people. We blessed our veterans yesterday. You know, we bless people. At Christmas, we're going to have a winter wonderland for first-time visiting kids from the community. And they'll come in. We'll give them a very nice gift and a blessing. And we'll feed everybody who comes out at our cove. It's our Christmas village, we call it, out back. And you'll like it at our Christmas services. So all kinds of exciting things that we do as a church. And with tithing the tithe that comes in, Pastor Jim tithes to this church. I tithe to this church. Our kids all tithe to this church. Why? Because we believe in that it's good ground that we're sowing into and we're planting our finances into. So we're not going to check up on you. We're not going to sit down every week and make, you know, I've heard of people, a couple different people have told me they've had times in their past where they've been at a church and the church required the people at the end of the year to turn in a copy of their W-2 form to prove that they had tithed. That's ridiculous. Listen, if you go to a church like that, run away fast. All right? This is between you and God. This really isn't between you and the church. It's between you and the Lord. But it's not something that God stands there with a frying pan going, you better tithe or I'm going to whack you. It's God going, listen, just trust me. Just trust me. See if this doesn't work out for you. And it's so funny because every time I talk about the tithe, there's always people in every group, some of which are nodding real big with their heads because they know exactly what I'm talking about because they've been tithers in their life and they know how it works and they know how their life has been wonderful in the area of their finances. Doesn't mean everything's all, it's not you're going to be a millionaire next week if you tithe. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God taking care of you, providing for you, meeting your needs and then some. And it's so beautiful to live that relationship with the Lord. I also see other people that look scared sometimes when I talk about it because you don't understand. This is a God that's not trying to get something from you. He wants to get something to you. And that's the beauty of that tithe relationship. So these are here just for your own personal benefit to look up. I encourage you to read these various scriptures, read them out. Talks about the difference between a tithe and an offering. An offering is just any giving over and above a tithe, and that's spelled out and communicated in here. Now, go back, if you would, to the previous page, and you'll see number 5 is faithfulness to invest, invite, and include. You ever heard that phrase? If you've ever been to a service and didn't sneak out early to try to beat the traffic out of the parking lot, you'll hear us every single service talk about invest and invite and include. Now, Pastor Jim put together a video that we want to show to you guys. Have you guys got it back there? All right, I want to show you a video where he describes and explains what Invest, Invite, and Include is all about. Let's watch it.
Hello, new Joy Team members. We are so excited to have you become part of the Joy Team. We're honored to have you on the team. How many know many hands really do make for light work? I just want to come to you as part of this teaching session and share my heart, my pastoral heart to you for just a little bit. I just want to launch into my heart, please, if we could, with a story. This occurred when John, my son, was probably maybe 4 years old or 5 years old. As was mentioned, I think this was probably 10 years ago. I've got a fishing boat. Nothing fancy, just a fishing boat. And me, myself, my wife, we're all out on the lake fishing. And of course, when we take John, we're out there on Percy Priest. And we took John, and he's got a life jacket on. And when I'm fishing, he gets kind of bored, so he likes to get in the water and cool off. It's in the middle of the summer. And all of a sudden, I caught a fish, and I was reeling it in, and my wife and I were having fun and not paying really any attention, trying to get the fish in. And we looked around, and there was no John. My son was gone. Now, I want you to get a hold of this for just a minute, because I want you to get the gravity of this situation. I was a lifeguard when I was a kid. My first stint as a lifeguard was at a lake. And if you lose somebody in a lake and you don't see where they go down, it is big trouble. Pool you can see in, but a lake you cannot. So we're looking around, we're in the middle of a big old lake and nothing. We don't see anything. There's no John, no nothing. And he had his life jacket on. And so we couldn't figure out where he was. So we were yelling out, John, John. And as we got going, the John got louder. And it began to, we had to push off fear and everything else you can imagine. If you're a mom or dad, you can imagine what we were experiencing in our mind for just a few minutes. And we were calling out, I was looking all over and there was no John. And all of a sudden, I hear, Daddy, this little small voice, Daddy, kind of with a little gleeful play in that voice. And my son had worked his way under the front bow of the boat. There's a little ring there off the bow of the boat, and he was hanging onto that ring, just kind of sitting in the shade, just having the time of his life, ignoring his mom and dad while they were calling out for him. But I gotta tell you something, for about 2 minutes, not fun. When I got my kid, boy, I grabbed him by his life jacket and I just hauled him into the boat. And you can imagine, I was so overjoyed to see him, but I was also not really too happy for a moment with my son. Now, let me tell you something. In those couple of minutes when my son was lost, I love my wife, but I didn't care anything about my wife. I promise you, my wife loves me, but I promise you, my wife didn't care anything about me for those 2 minutes. You know why? We were totally focused on that which was lost. And I want you to know something. So is God. You need to know something about this church as you're becoming a part of this Joy Team. We value the lost, people that don't know Jesus, people that are unchurched. We value them here. And this is where you come in, and it's an important thing. So does God. If you look at Luke chapter 15, the whole chapter, Jesus is being accused of hanging around people that are less than savory in life, you know, the unlovely. And because of that accusation, Jesus gives them three parables. I won't go into all that. Please read Luke 15 on your own. But in all three parables, he leaves things and people that he loves and goes after that which was lost. Showing you and I that to God, just because they're lost doesn't mean they're not valuable. And may I submit to you, because they are lost, they're extremely valuable. Here at Joy Church, we have a saying called invest and invite and include. And I'm asking you to be a part of investing in people's lives and inviting them to know Jesus, inviting them to come to church, And then when they get here, I'm asking you to include them and make them feel loved and welcome and accepted. You know about 30 people that you play with, go to school with, work with, that need to be here at Joy Church. You really do. You're connected with them. And we want you to connect with them, and we're challenging you to invest in their lives and invite them here and then include them when they get here. I'm gonna give you four thoughts, four very simple thoughts. We'll take but a moment. Four thoughts on investing and inviting and including, and they're included in your notes. They're included in your outline. We want you to check that out. And I really want you to follow along with me here, because this is going to be powerful. And I'm asking you, as your new favorite pastor, I'm asking you, please, to hear my heart and to help invest in the investing and inviting and including. Let me talk to you. Let me give you number one, four thoughts on investing and inviting and including. Accept a personal responsibility. Accept a personal responsibility. Here's what I mean. As long as heaven and hell are real places, and they are, we must always, always invest in people's lives and invite them to know Jesus, invite them to come to church. If heaven and hell are real places, then we need this church to grow. And I know right off the bat, sometimes people don't like that. They're like, intimate places, listen to me. We need this church to grow, not for the sake of growth, but heaven and hell are real places. And as long as that's true, I want full church services. I want full parking lots. I want the hustle and bustle of people, even though sometimes the hustle and bustle can be a hassle. Because heaven and hell are real places. And we need to depopulate hell and populate heaven. So may I challenge you to accept investing and inviting and including as a personal responsibility. Take it upon yourself. Those 30 people that you know, come on, bring them with you to Joy Church. Second thing, number two, second thought on investing and inviting and including, develop a personal relationship. Develop a personal relationship. Now, what do I mean by that? Here's our little thought at Joy Church. Before you correct, you must connect. Connection precedes correction. In other words, our goal is not just to go out in the community and tell everybody how bad they are. We want to show them how good God is, and we want to connect with them relationally before we ever even think about correcting them. So number one, develop that personal responsibility. Take it unto yourself. Number two, make sure that you develop a personal relationship with these folks. Man, connection with them. You connect with them by taking them out to lunch. Think of it. Jesus met Zacchaeus. He's up in the tree. He said, come on down here, we're going to lunch. He connected with him before he ever corrected Zacchaeus. That's powerful. Third thing that you need to know, share your personal story. Now, what I mean by that? Well, it's pretty simple. Rather than telling them what's wrong with them, why don't you tell them what's right with you? And when I say that, I don't mean that you're this big, holy, wonderful person. I don't mean that. But I mean, share your personal testimony. What has God done for you? You used to be stressed out, now you're full of peace. You used to be bummed out, now you're full of joy. Rather than just telling them how bad they are, why don't you show them how good God is by telling them your personal story? Here's how I was, and now I've met Jesus, and here's how things have changed. Here's where things were in my life. Now I've been going to Joy Church, and here's how my life has been affected in a positive way. Nobody can take away your personal story. Fourth thing that we need to do, number four, give a personal invitation. So not only do you need to take this personally, not only do you need to make sure that you connect with them relationally, and not only do you need to tell them your personal story, but give them a personal invitation. Invite them, if you're comfortable with it, invite them to know the Lord right where you are. But if you're not, invite them to come to Joy Church. Oh my goodness. And then when they do, let's just include them. Let's just give them the love of God. Let's give the love of God away. Invite them to come to Joy. Now listen to me. If busy parking lots and full churches and lots of folks coming to church, if that's not your cup of tea, then this is probably not the place for you. But I know since you're joining the Joy team that this is the place for you. That's what we want. And I know that's a little bit inconvenient. I know sometimes it's going to take a little bit longer to get off campus after the church service is over. Sometimes harder to find a parking space. Or sometimes even harder to find a chair within Joy Church. But I want you to know, that means we're a good restaurant. If it's just you and the health inspector, that means the food is bad. If it's a crowded restaurant, that means the home cooking is good. We believe at Joy Church, the home cooking is good. We believe that's why you're being part of this team. And I want you to know we're honored to have you be part of this team. We just want you to help us invest and invite and include. Help us grow this team. Help us depopulate hell and populate heaven. Help us invest and invite and include. I'm challenging you as a new Joy team member to take that personally. Because listen to me. The lost are valuable to God, and the lost are valuable to us. Let's do it together. Let's invest, let's invite, and let's include.
All right, you guys, so now you know what that's all about, investing, inviting, and including. You guys know people that we don't know. You'll come across people's paths we may never see, and you have an opportunity to reach people that we may never be able to reach. And so come on, reach out. Let's be part of investing and inviting and including. It's so important to help grow the church. Now, let's move on. You ready? You want to keep going? All right, let's flip some pages and let's get to the next section. Let's go to session number 3. Now, we're going to zip through this one real quick, but I want to go over a couple pages in here that are real important. And the first one is entitled, Using Your Gifts with Joy. Anybody ever heard of the parable of the talents? Remember the parable of the talents? The man called his servants together and he gave one 5 talents, one 2 talents, one talent. It was a very vast amount of money. And he basically said, be responsible with it. And then he left. Remember that? And then the guy who had 5 talents, he bought and sold and was faithful with it and came back with 10. And you remember he brought it to the master, and the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little. You'll be faithful with much. Enter into the joy of your master. You remember that? And then the guy who had 2, he came back with 4. And the master goes, you didn't even bring me half of what the last guy brought me. Remember that? You don't remember that because that's not what it says. He said the exact same thing to him that he had said to the first guy. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little. You'll be faithful with much. Enter into the joy of your master. And you remember the guy who had the 1 talent, what did he do? He didn't go out and be faithful with it. He went out and dug a hole and buried it in the ground. And then when the master came back, he brought it back to the master, and the master called him a wicked and lazy servant. And he took it from him and gave it to the guy who had 10 because he had been faithful with it. And there's so many different principles, so many different things that we can take away from that. But let's take a look at 10 principles real quick that you can pull out of that parable of the talents. Number one, your talents are given by God, right? They are a gift of God to you to be a steward of. Now, a steward is somebody that doesn't own it, and these servants didn't own the money. They were given, entrusted with the stewardship of the money, right? Number 2, everyone receives something. One got 5, one got 4, one got 2, one got 1. And it said that they were each given according to their ability. So this guy who was given 5 had the ability to handle 5. Right? The guy who was given 2 had the ability to handle 2 and 1 the same. And so they're each given according to their abilities, but they all receive something. Principle 3, different people have different gifts. I can prove that. Miss Ann can sing. I cannot. All right? There's proof positive. Different people have different giftings. Principle 4, recognize we're not all equal in talent, but we must all put forth equal effort, which is our best. God's not asking you for what you don't have. He's asking you for what you do have. And he's looking for our best. Number 5, the gifts are not for our personal advantage, but for the enrichment of the master. We're working as working unto the Lord. And then principle 6, equal faithfulness determines equal reward. Remember the guy that came back with 10? he was given a well done, good and faithful servant, but the guy that came back with four was given a well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because they were both faithful with what they had been given. And that's what levels the playing field. Anybody ever look around you and go, you know what? I'm not as talented or as smart or as gifted or whatever as that person or that person or that person. Anybody ever done that? The Bible actually encourages us not to do that, because it's like comparing apples with oranges. There's no equal comparison that you can do there. But what he's saying is, look, be faithful with what you got. If you're as faithful with what God entrusts to you to be faithful with as Billy Graham was with what he was entrusted with, you'll get equal reward with Billy Graham due to your faithfulness. That's the leveler of the playing field. Make sense? Now, number seven, if you're faithful in little, God will give you more. Not necessarily talents, but more responsibility, which leads right into principle eight. The reward for work well done is more work. Now, don't let that discourage you, but here's what I want to encourage you guys with. Guys, we've only got a short period of time on this planet Earth. You know, let's say you're around for 100 years, all right? Well, what is 100 years compared to all eternity? It's nothing in comparison to all eternity, and yet we're going to be together, if we're born again Christians, we're going to be together in all eternity for guess how long? All eternity! And so comparatively, our time here on earth is very brief, but our time here on earth is extremely important, because here on earth is what determines our future reward, but it also determines who's going with us to heaven. And that's the most important part of our responsibility here, is to know Jesus, but once we know him, is to make him known to other people and to get the word out and to teach and help people and disciple them. The Great Commission was Jesus' last words to us, saying, get out there and get some more added to your numbers here. It's not just about you getting saved. It's about you, once you're saved, helping others come to know the Lord as well. And so God wants to build his kingdom and grow his kingdom. And so he's got stuff for us to do. Now, he'll give that to us in balance. And we talked about that earlier. I'm not talking about you got to work yourself to death. What I'm saying is, be a good steward of what God's placed in your care and in your responsibility, and then walk it out with the Lord, and it's pretty cool how that all works out. And then number nine, the call is a call to risk. Try even if you fail, take life by the horns, and go for it. And then principle 10, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Anybody in here ever work out with weights or anything? Anybody? Raise your hand if you've ever done that in your life. Anybody ever stop working out? All right, if you don't use it, what'll happen? You'll lose it. And so let's be stewards, let's be faithful with these gifts and giftings that God's given to us. Now, we gave you two handouts. And one is called, you know, Discovering Your Gifts. Let's see how they're entitled. Where do I put my copy? Somebody tell me what they're entitled. I don't have a copy in front of me. All right, so let's see. Say that one more time. Survey. Motivational Gift Survey. And serving the Lord with joy, right? So we're going to talk about our motivational gift survey to begin with. And let me tell you how this process, this Step into Joy process works from this point forward, right? We have two sessions of Step into Joy. Pastor Rob did session one last week. We just did session one just now. We're going to wrap up a few bits of information and things I'm going to tell you still. But basically, we've primarily gotten through our Step into Joy sessions. Now, there's one additional meeting we want to ask you guys to come and be a part of. And that meeting is called Getting Started with Joy. And what Getting Started with Joy is your next step. Now that you're becoming a part of this joy team, how can I get involved? How can I plug in as an usher? How can I plug in as a greeter? How can I serve as a children's ministry worker? And we want to give you that opportunity to get on board and to be a part of things. And that's what these other handouts will help you do. And so here's how this works. On our end, what we will do is you guys will fill out all this paperwork. You'll drop it off in that little wicker basket over there at the door on your way out. And then we as the staff team, we'll get together this week and we'll sit down and we'll talk about all the information that you guys have given to us. We'll take a look at all the different areas in the church and where needs are. And then we'll very prayerfully look at these things and go, you know what? We could really use this person's help here or this person's help there. And then you guys will get calls from, you know, one or more of our department coordinators that will reach out to you and help answer any questions you might have about areas of interest to you. So if you're you know, if you're all about kids and I want to serve in the kids ministry, then you'll likely get a call from our kids ministry department going, hey, let's tell you a little bit more about that. And they'll remind you of one more meeting that we want to have with you guys. And that's coming up on the 28th, 2 weeks from today, from 2 to 3:30. And that's what we call Getting Started with Joy. And the purpose of that meeting is we'll bring out our different department coordinators. We'll give you a little bit more information about volunteerism here at the church. And then we'll give you guys a chance to meet up with and talk with the different department coordinators where they'll fill you in on how to get involved and plugged in those different areas and answer any specific questions you may have about those different areas. So if it's at all possible for you to be at this meeting, please, oh please, plan to do so. If for some reason you can't make this meeting, we'll have to figure out a way to kind of catch up on things outside of the regular mix of things. But if you can't make it to the meeting, at least write that information down on your sheet. If you know already ahead of time that you can't make it, write that on one of your sheets that you turn in. That'll help us know. But if you can make it, we would very much appreciate you coming and being a part of that, because it's our onboarding is a volunteer process. Make sense? And so these two handouts will help you with that. And let's talk about discovering your gifts with joy first and go back to your manual. The next page over, I think it is, has a page entitled that, Discovering Your Gifts with Joy. And let's look through this real quickly out of Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. And those verses talk about what most people call motivational gifts or body gifts that are given by the Lord. And there's seven different body gifts or motivational gifts that are given there. And if you look, it talks about it. These gifts motivate what you do in ministry, not who you are, or your integrity per se. And we don't want to hide a character flaw behind a motivational gift. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is this. Let's say we'll talk in a moment about someone who is more of a prophetic motivational gifting. Now, that doesn't mean they're a prophet. What that means is they're able to see things really black and white and they like truth and honesty, and that, you know, there's not a lot of gray areas for someone who has more of a prophetic orientation. And so a lot of times they can see right and wrong real easily. And so sometimes people who are geared that way, honestly, they can be kind of mean or be kind of a jerk sometimes in the way they treat people, right? So when I say we don't hide behind a motivational gift, what I'm saying is this. If you come up to me and you act like a jerk, and then you go, well, you know, I'm just a prophetic motivational gift, I'm going to tell you, no, you're a jerk. And don't hide behind your motivational gifting, because just because you may be a little more oriented in that way doesn't mean you can ignore all the scriptures that says be kind to one another and tenderhearted and things of that nature. You see what I'm saying? That's what I mean by not hiding a character. Or you know, it's like people go, well, you know, I have this terrible temper because I'm a redhead. Well, if you can point me to the scripture that tells me it's okay for redheads to have terrible tempers, then we're good with that. But otherwise, you know, work on those character flaws. Got it? Because a lot of times we can real easy. Well, my mom was always that way. Well, it was like Pastor Jim shared the example this morning. He was talking about a guy that was, remember, that was at one of our Taste of Joy dinners that was really acting like a jerk. That was from New York. Didn't he talk about that in the service? Oh, okay. Well, it's a great example for you. So we're having one of our Taste of Joy dinners here, and this was a guy who came to the church years ago, and for a period of time, and he was from New York, and so, you know, he was one of these yeah bada bing bada boom kind of guys, but he was really quite rude to the people at the table, and he was talking kind of mean and talking down to people and real rude and all this. Well, Pastor Jim was like, hey, you know, nice up a little bit there, guy. You know, I mean, in a real sweet way. But he was saying, look, you know, you're being kind of rude to everybody. And the guy goes, well, you know, that's just because I'm from New York. That was his reason for being rude. And Pastor Jim had to say to him, well, we're not in New York right now. And that's not okay. In other words, you can't just justify off mistreating people. Does that make sense? And so that's what I'm talking about here. You guys get the point. All right, so let's keep going. So every member of the body stands and, you know, has one of these motivational giftings. And we're going to ask you to read through these on your sheet and rank them in order of what best describes you. Number one, number two, number three. And this just helps you understand a little bit more. We'll zip through them super quick. The first one is prophecy. I already mentioned that. There's someone who can see things very black and white. But a ditch that someone with that orientation can get into is they can be a little bit mean. And so you got to avoid the ditches on these. Next one is ministry or diakonos. That's where we get the word deacon from. These are people who make great servers, great ushers, service hosts. They're people that like to get in and help and put their hand to the plow. And one of the ditches that someone with that orientation can get into is burnout. You know, they can try to do too much. They can try to take on too many responsibilities. They're always saying yes to everything that they're asked. Sometimes we've got to be willing to say yes, but wise enough to say no sometimes, so that we can do things that you know, we don't try to do too many things. Next one's teacher. That's someone, you know, these make the best Sunday school teachers or great disciplers of people. And a ditch that a teacher can sometimes, orientation can get into is they can sometimes be a little bit critical, or they can overemphasize discipling and underemphasize soul winning or leading people to Jesus, okay? Next one's exhorter. That's someone who can really encourage and exhort sinners and challenge the lost to come to Jesus. And the ditch for them can be the very opposite of the teacher. They can overemphasize winning souls and underemphasize discipling. How many of you know both are important? You can't disciple someone who's not yet born again, right? But if you're born again and you never grow, you never mature as a believer. And so both are important. And so we don't want to get that out of balance. Giving, we talked about giving before, but someone with a real giving motivational gifting is someone who is really a funnel to put much money into the gospel. A lot of times, someone who's one of these motivational gift givers, they love to get behind the scenes. They don't care to get credit or to be seen or known for what they're doing. A lot of times, they can be very successful or business people. Some of them earn a lot of money. And they understand and realize this isn't for me. This is, you know, certainly they benefit from it, but it's to funnel into the gospel and to bless people and to give. And so there's people that are very much geared that way. It's a fun way to live. And the last one is ruler. These are people who are, you know, more help in pastoral care or elders in the church and leaders in the church. But the ditch they can get into is turn the church into a business that runs over people. You understand that the priority for a local church is people. Well, why is that? Because the priority for God is people, right? And so sometimes someone who's very just organizationally minded can get so wrapped up in the programs that they miss the point of who the programs are for, and the programs are for the people that they're there to minister to. Does that make sense? All right, so if you'll use that information as ammo to help you answer those other questions, that'd be great. Now, pull out your other sheet if you would. And can I steal yours? Have you got it right there? Let me grab it out of there, because I need to look it over as I tell you this real quick. I want to run through this real quickly with you guys, if you'll bear with me, and tell you a little bit more about some of these different areas. You may have filled this out already. If you haven't yet, that's great. Listen to what I have to say. If you have already and you make a change based on what I have to say, that's fine. Just scribble something out and mark it in there, but I want to make notice of what these things are. And there's a description of all these in the back of your handbook, so you can look at them in there as well. But children's ministry, let me talk about. Sometimes if you walk into a local church and you make the mistake of telling them you like kids, that'll be the last time you ever step foot in the main auditorium of that church the rest of your life. You'll never see that room again. They'll throw you back in the kids' ministry area till they squeeze every bit of life out of you, and then you have to stagger out the door to try to find somewhere else to go. We're not that way here at Joy Church, because we know you can't give what you don't have, and we care about our kids more than that. And we want you fed, and we want you nourished and spiritually fed, not just being back there with the kids. And so we have limits on how often people can work in the children's ministry areas. And they can work them, you know, there's a lot more opportunities to come to services in here than there are for you to be able to serve back in the kids' ministry area, because we want you in a very balanced you're receiving the word, so you'll have something to give and bless the kids with back in the back. Now, if you hate kids, if you'd rather kick a kid than talk to them, you probably don't want to sign up for kids ministry. So factor that in as you're looking at these. Real Joy Youth Ministry, we've got a number of volunteers in that area. We don't have a great need of additional volunteers in there, but if that's the area that floats your boat, let us know, and we can at least maybe talk about that. Ushers. Now, ushers take care of all kinds of things. They're out in the parking lot helping direct traffic and greet you and helping you with things. They're inside taking care of a number of different things, seating-wise and passing out things and picking up things and passing the offering buckets and all these different kind of things. And so ushers, depending on what church you came from, you may have this mindset that all ushers must be at least 75 and wear a suit, and that's not the case. We have ushers all ages, men and women, young and old, and we'd love to have you be a part of that if that interests you. Service hosts or the greeters, if you hate people, if you'd rather talk to your computer than a human, then greeters probably isn't your role here, right? But if you like people, if you like to interact with folks, if you want to welcome folks, these are the people that are greeting people as they're coming in the door. They're at the guest services counter. They come back in the guest reception at the end of services. They're wearing the orange shirts at the end of services, helping to lead you out. And we would love to have you take a look at that. Audio, visual, lighting, if you have any skill sets in those areas and interest in those areas, we'd love to talk to you more about that. Live production team, that's our video camera teams that are taking care of our live streaming of all of our services. If you're interested there, let us know. Cup of Joy, that's our coffee area out here in the main foyer. If you just love coffee, welcome to 90% of everybody else. That's not, you are not just looking for anybody who loves drink coffee. If you know a little bit about coffee, or maybe you've been a barista and you like the people interaction of that, let us know in that area. Computer services, graphic design, IT, website. You know, it's amazing how some people don't realize that the profession that they do is part of the expression of the gifting that God's put in them that they can use for the Lord and in His church, and they don't make that connection. You know, they go, well, gosh, I can't serve at my church. All I know how to do is build computer systems from the ground up. Well, guess where you can serve in your local church in a way that will help the local church. You see what I'm saying? And people a lot of times miss that. My wife, her grandmother, the greatest skill she had was she was an amazing cook. I mean, she could cook anything, and she was one of these old country cooks, you know, that you get fat eating her food, but it was good. But this woman, she could cook. Well, she went to the same little church for 75, 80 years, and everybody knew what a great, great cook she was. So every missionary they had come into town, or every woman that had a baby, or every funeral that they had, they'd go to Lois. That was her name. And Lois would cook and bless them. And man, that was a gift. And that was a ministry. And we'll talk about that here in a minute further down. Matter of fact, we're on it. Cooking with Joy. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If you can cook and you like cooking and you like to bless people, there's so many ways to do it. And let us know. We can get you there. Office. Our office is manned. You know, we have all our paid staff in there with the office. But our office support team works Monday through Friday. They're in there doing all kinds of help and doing all kinds of ministry all through the week. And they're volunteers that are in there serving. Facilities team, our lawn and groundskeeping, our clean team, our maintenance teams. Listen, most churches of our size, they hire out outdoor, you know, lawn care folks. They hire out, you know, people to come in and clean the church in between services. And we could do that, but we don't want to do that. There's all kinds of people here in the church that they love to clean. They love to mow. Our mowing team out there is called Joy to Mow. And these folks love to get out there and serve in that way. Plus, it gives them a way to express their serving here at the church, and it saves the church lots of money that can be used to bless other people. When we built this facility and moved in 7 years ago into this building, the people that did our landscaping, you know, for the construction, they submitted to us a request to take on our yearly lawn care, right? And, you know, keeping your bushes and trimmed and this and that and your lawn care. I think 8 years ago that they were quoting $86,000 is what they wanted to mow our lawn for the year. Well, how many of you know when you got volunteers out there helping and serving and taking care of that $86,000 can feed a lot of people, can take care of a lot of meals with our Joy to Go. It can be a big investment in touching and blessing and reaching people with the gospel. Does that make sense? Plus, the people out there serving are getting blessed to do it. Acts of Joy, that's all our videos and video production team. They got a big crew that's already in place with that. But if you got special skills and giftings along those lines, let us know. Special events. Who in here loves to decorate? Anybody in here love to decorate? Now, hold on. Raise those hands once again. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I would rather you rip my fingernails out at the roots than for me to decorate anything. Now, I share that with you for this reason. That's the beauty of what we're doing here. Because if I was stuck in the job, and that's what it would be to me, I'd be stuck in the job of having to decorate something. Think of how miserable just that sentence sounds. I'm stuck in having to do this. But you who love to decorate, you can't wait to do something like that. It's a get to, it's not a have to. And see, that's why God builds the body of Christ the way he does. Each person has different skills, different giftings. We all bring something different to the table. And if you're expressing your gifting through serving in that area, one, I'm not serving in that area and making myself and everyone around me miserable. I'm serving in the area where my giftings are. Does that make sense? And that should encourage you. I commend you and admire you who love to decorate, because that's something that I don't like and don't want to like, but I'm glad that you do so I don't have to like it. How's that? Does that sound fair? All right. So that's what they're about, special events. It's not just about decorating, but we had a big event today where we fed our department coordinators and assistant coordinators in here. And, we had in these two rooms, we probably fed 150 people. Tables and nice food and set up real nicely and all that. That was our events team that put on that event and took care of our department coordinators and assistants. Okay? Sounds of Joy praise team. So our praise and worship team. How many of you guys know that we live in Nashville? Yeah. How many of you know that in Nashville, 98.2164% of all people have music talent? You know, I made up that stat, but I'm the one who doesn't. But where most churches have the problem of, gosh, I just wish I could find someone that could play the organ, we are blessed with being in the environment that we're in, and so many of the people that come to this church, we have many music professionals that come to this church. You understand people migrate, and some of you may have migrated to the Nashville area for the music and to be a part of the music. And so there's a lot more people with musical talents and giftings that are a part of this church than we could ever get up on the stage to be a part of the praise and worship team. Does that make sense? Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to know if you have those giftings and if that's your orientation and that's what you want to do. Let us know. We want to know. Matter of fact, at the end, I want you to come up here because I want to give you another handout that you can take with you and fill out that gives us more information about that. But I say all that to say this. One, we have some extra requirements of our praise and worship team folks. You have to have been regularly attending the church at least 6 months or more. It's done on as Miss Ann would approach you for audition, or whatever you call it. That's all part of the process. But again, if we're not ever able to put you up on the stage as part of the praise team, it doesn't mean we don't acknowledge your gift or that you don't have that gift. Just understand that, there's just a limit to how many people can be a part of it. Does that make sense? But we want to know, and let us know. And so don't let that discourage you from taking the next step to let us know. I'm not trying to talk you down from that. I'm just simply saying, please be open to helping out and serving in a different area, at least for a season, or maybe instead, where you can serve in a different way here at the church. Is that fair? I said that nice, didn't I? I'm a nice person. Next one's Joy to Go. That's our mobile kitchen that we take out and feed people in a lot of different ways. Todd and Amy Davey lead that, head that up. We have tons of folks that like to serve during events, and we have special sign-ups sometimes for those events. But if you're one of these people that's like, my favorite thing in the world is getting there at 5 and doing all the setup in the morning, or tearing down canopies and pouring down rain at the end. If that's what floats your boat, that's what we're looking for on this. Or maybe you ran a food truck for 20 years or something like that. Let us know, and we can take a look at that. Women of Joy is our ladies' ministry. Miss Ann heads that up. We got stage set up and design. You know, if you're someone who's skilled in that area, carpentry, those kind of things. The landing is where we have our pantry, where we bless the community and feed them. Got a lot of volunteers there. And then we have what we call grow to sow. Now, we're not in season for that now. But if you're a gardener, anybody a gardener in here like to grow veggies? Grow to sow is, think about next year as you get into your spring planting. Think about maybe planting a few extra tomato vines or a few extra cucumbers or a few extra squash or pick whatever your thing is you like to grow. And bringing some of the harvest of that to the pantry to give away to people in the community that are hungry. And a lot of people do that and bless the community through that. You know, it's one thing to, you know, we don't want to give out old, outdated cans of Beanie Weenies to people when they come in and have a need in the area of groceries. We want to bless them and take good care of them. And very few food pantries are able to give out fresh produce, and that's something we love to be able to do right out of people's gardens. And then the connection team, that's Pastor Eric and Mandy Garcia's table. You see it when you first come into the door out in the main foyer. They're folks that are helping facilitate connections to our joy groups and various joy group events. And so if that's something that interests you, we want all of you to be interested in the joy groups. But if you want to be a part of helping facilitate signups and things like that, then that's what that would be. All right, does that all make sense? Forgive me, I went over a little bit, and I apologize. But I wanted to kind of give you an idea of what you're looking at there. We're asking you to give us your top five that you would prefer to do in this, because here's kind of how we walk this through. We would love to find a match between your number one desire and our area of need in the church. But there may be, maybe your number one or number two is an area that we've got more than enough staffing for right now, but your number three is an area we could very much use your help in. We may want to talk to you about that as we look at how together we can move forward and help you get to where your giftings are while also helping the church move forward to where the needs are with the church, and we can grow together. Does that make sense? All right. I think, am I missing anything? Is that it? All right. So I think that covers everything. If you guys will do this, I'm going to close this in prayer. If you're done and you've filled everything out and you've filled out that application, and you know, if you've turned in one of these and you got your other ones and turn them in, make sure, by the way, please write your names legibly on these. And the way to define that is write your name, show it to the person next to you that's not your spouse, and see if they can read it back to you. And if they can read it back to you, it's legible enough for us to read it, which will help. And if you guys will drop those in the baskets on your way out, that'll be awesome. Come back on Wednesday night. We have our healing service on Wednesday night. We're actually going to be praying for the sick on Wednesday night. And then we'll be back at it next weekend with Pastor Jim picking back up on this week's service. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this wonderful bunch of folks. I thank you that you knit people together in families, and you knit church families together. And, Father, I pray over each person in here. I thank you that you helped them find their place at Joy. And I thank you for bringing these wonderful folks together for an awesome future as we lock arms together, making a difference together for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great night, everybody. If you need that music questionnaire, come up here, and I'll get that to you. Oh, I'm sorry. I stole that from you, didn't I? Thank you. Oh, you stole my glasses. That's a trade-off. Sorry. That's all right.
Thank you.
These are unbreakable. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.